The Trend Reporter is a production of iHeartRadio.
Looking for a product mentioned on The Trend Reporter? Check out our Amazon page to shop the show. Also, check out my Instagram and YouTube for more beauty and wellness coverage, including tutorials, fun photos, some reels, and much more. Links in the show notes. I'm journalist and beauty obsessive, Mara Schiavocampo. Trends are constantly changing. There's something new in beauty and wellness every day. That can be a lot to keep up with. So let me do the work for you. I'm here to tell you everything you want to know about the trends you should know. Today on The Trend Reporter, fight for your glow.
Everything in the winter months is there to take your glow.
Celebrity dermatologist Dr. Michelle Henry on how to keep your skin looking like radiant perfection during those cold, dry months.
Hydration, hydration, hydration.
Including her product recommendations. Plus, looks like we're in for another season of COVID masks. Dr. Henry shares her secrets to avoiding and treating mask acne, that maskne.
So what we don't want to do is use really aggressive treatments.
Everything you want to know about the beauty and wellness trends worth knowing. Thank you for being here. I can't believe we haven't spoken since before the summer.
I know, it's been crazy. Time has just flown by.
When we spoke about summer, we kind of settled on glowy, but not greasy. That was our mantra for summer skin. So when we're talking about cold weather, what would you say is the mantra for cold weather skincare?
So we're less concerned about greasy during the winter, but you can lose your glow. Everything in the winter months is there to like take your glow. So you really have to fight to make sure that your skin still looks hydrated and dewy during the winter months.
Okay. How about fight for your glow? Does that work?
For your glow.
So we're going to fight for our glow in the dark, cold months. So what are some of the reasons that we are having to fight for our glow in fall and winter?
So outdoors, it's getting colder. It's drier. That cold air is just leaching the moisture from our skin. And then when we're indoors, we heat up using radiators. And so that dry heat is leaching the moisture from our skin. So our skin is just under attack. You know, when it's cold outside and we come inside and we want to take a warm shower, that's leaching the moisture from our skin. So all of the things we do to make ourselves comfortable in the winter months is contributing to the damage that the environment is also doing. So we're really under attack. And that really, you know, the theme is hydration, 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 because everything is zapping our moisture.
So how does the cold and the heat from, hot shower or from radiator, indoor heat, how are both of those things sapping your skin?
It's about the lack of humidity that's making moisture leave your skin instead of allowing it to lock in. So it's that gradient. If it's drier outside of your skin, the moisture is going to leave your skin instead of like locking into your skin. So both of those environments are quite dry. And that's why you can see that loss with both the cold and the heat.
Okay, so it's about the dryness of the surroundings as opposed to the temperature.
It's just a concentration gradient, right? So it's moving to the area where it's needed. It's going to disperse to the area of least resistance. So there's so much hydration in your skin, it's packed there. It's going to naturally move into the area of least resistance. And that's going to be the drier area. It's the same way that, you know, if we use something dry, we use dry things to suck the water out of our clothing, right? We're not going to use a wet cloth to do it. It's because it's going to absorb that moisture because it's dry. And that's just kind of the nature of water and molecules and concentrations.
So it sounds like dryness is the culprit. Dryness is the villain in the winter. Dryness from the cold and dryness from indoor heat.
Exactly. And then also, you know, when we're indoor and when we're outside, it's also just an environment of our blood vessels are constricting. Everything is participating in not allowing moisture to go into our skin. So it's just a double whammy.
Okay. The conspiracy to keep our skin from being hydrated. So then how do we fight that? What are the steps that you recommend to fight for our glow?
So we fight for our glow by like always keeping our glow in mind. So when you are creating your winter skincare regimen, you want to think about all of the environments that you'll be in throughout the day. And so hydration, 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 both on the skin, but also oral hydration. So water, like high water fruits also. So a lot of my patients hate drinking water. I love water, but they hate it. So things like watermelon, cantaloupe, celery, all those things that have higher water content are also useful. And then on the surface, we want to think about those ingredients we always drive home, your hyaluronic acid, your ceramides, your glycerin. especially because we talked about how the water that's packed in our skin wants to move to an area of lower concentration. So how do we block it in? So when we're in the wintertime, we want to think about ingredients that are probably a little bit more occlusive, you know, so things like glycerin. That's why we love things like Aquaphor and Vaseline on our lips, because it's so occlusive. It's holding in our moisture and not letting it escape. So you're going to want richer creams. So moving from a lotion to a cream, it's going to be more occlusive. It's going to lock in more moisture. Doing all the steps of your regimen should be to promote moisture. So moving from, let's say, a gel or a foaming cleanser that is really great for getting off dirt, oil, and debris in the summertime, but you don't want that squeaky clean feeling in the wintertime. You want gentle surfactants. You want cleansers that are pH balanced, so they're not going to disrupt your skin barrier. Those are the kind of things you're looking for when you're creating a regimen for the wintertime.
And so because we are fighting dryness, should we be washing our face less often?
No, we shouldn't. You know, we should wash our face still twice a day, just with smart cleansers. Because if you're washing less often, then you're going to create another problem. There's acne, there's dirt and debris, there's inflammation from all the things in our environment. But just using gentle cleansers, you know, so maybe you're going to, instead of using a harsh scrub in the morning, maybe you're going to use a gentle soap and then rinse, or maybe you're going to use micellar water and then rinse it off. You know, something that's going to be a little less stripping to your skin. But we definitely still want you to wash, because you're still perspiring at night when you sleep, especially when the radiators are on. And that sweat, oil, dirt, and debris is going to lead to different problems.
It's so interesting. I feel like, you know, of all the episodes that we've done, whether it's hair care or, you know, skin care, any kind of health, the answer is always hydration. I feel like we could just sum up like everything right there. Like drink enough water. Yeah, drink enough water, get enough sleep, and don't stress so much. Like that is truly the best beauty advice. So let's talk about cleansers. What are some of the cleansers that you really like that are gentle?
Yeah, so cleansers that I like CeraVe cleansers. CeraVe has if you're someone who has oilier skin, they have a cream to foam cleanser that's quite good, because it's still foamy but doesn't have a harsh surfactant. Pericone has a gentle cleanser that I really like as well. Other gentle cleansers, there's a Tellurian cleanser by La Roche-Posay that's really quite nice and really great for sensitive skin types. Aveeno has some really great cleansers for gentle skin types. Fresh, they have their soy cleanser that's really great for gentle skin types. Kiehl's has their calendula cleanser that's really great for gentle skin types. So lots of options out there for gentle skin, for making sure we don't strip the skin.
We've talked about the calendula cleaner before, because, you know, it's a favorite of yours. You've mentioned it, and they have it at my gym. So I won't buy it, because I know I can get it for free at the gym. But it's actually a big incentive for me to shower at the gym, because I'm like, oh, nice. They have the cleanser that I love. So then what about in terms of moisture? You know, you mentioned using things. When you say occlusive, you mean, is it thicker? What does that mean?
It's a little bit thicker. So when I say occlusive, it's thicker, so the water can't make its way out. So it's just a little bit more, it's waterproofing the skin a little bit better. And by nature, creams are more occlusive than lotions. So like my sensitive patients, my eczema prone patients, I always tell them no lotion, cream, cream, cream. And that's why we switch to creams, because they are thicker. And some that I like, there are a lot. I like SkinCeuticals. They have one called Triple Lipid Restore, which is fantastic. Tatcha has one called the Dewy Skin Cream, which is really rich and great. Vichy has one called Aqualia Thermal. I'm just making the thermal fancy. Aqualia Thermal, which is a great one. La Roche-Posay has Tellurian, which is quite nice and great for sensitive skin types. Kiehl's has their Ultra Facial. Clinique has their Moisture Surge, which is nice as well. There's so many good, rich creams out there. So lots to choose from.
What do you think? Are you familiar with this trend, this slugging, where people are covering their face with all that, like Aquaphor? Is that a smart thing to do?
It is a smart thing to do if you're very, very dry. It's something to try, because petrolatum itself is not really occlusive. However, petrolatum can occlude other things. So if you have other oils in your regimen, it can clog your pores by occluding other things. But by itself, it doesn't clog pores. And so for someone who's really dry, especially my eczema patients, I always mention them because their skin barrier is compromised and they're some of my driest patients. I recommend that they put Aquaphor on top of their moisturizer to give them sort of like a treatment to kind of prepare their skin for the day by giving them that moisture boost at night. That's something I often recommend. So I'm a fan of slugging.
Okay. I remember people recommending it for feet at one point, where you just like slather your feet in Aquaphor Vaseline and then put socks on.
Yeah.
And then in the morning, they're supposed to be like super like baby soft. But I kind of need my rough feet because they help me walk in heels. So I'm very cautious about making them too soft.
Because
then
funny.
You slide around inside your shoes and it's just I've worked hard for that roughness. and then masks. So not COVID masks, but facial masks. Are there any masks that you like for winter?
Kiehl's has an overnight mask that I really like. Glossier has a good overnight mask that's quite good. SkinMedica has a biocellulose mask that's kind of for restoration and to repair the skin, but it's also super hydrating, so I really love that one as well. Those are probably some of my favorites.
Okay, so since we're talking about masks, now let's talk about the other kind of mask, the COVID masks. So I did not cover this at all last season when you would think it would be the thing to talk about because I was like, no, this is going to be over soon. It's going to be gone soon. It's for the same reason that I won't buy any cute masks. I only have the surgical masks that I throw away the moment that I'm done with them because I don't want to think about this being a long-term
thing. You're not committing.
Exactly. But it's not up to me. It's up to the universe. And COVID is here for another winter, it would appear. So let me just confront this head on. When I first started hearing about Mask Me, I'll be honest, I thought it was a media creation. And I thought that it was a media creation because the name was cute. Mask Me. Yeah. Like it just works.
Yeah.
And then I went on a trip and I was on several airplanes. We were all over visiting family. And so I was wearing the mask a lot. So this was really the first time that I was wearing the mask for days and days and hours and hours and hours on end. And I'll be damned if I didn't break out right in the crease of my nose, where my nose meets my face, and all along my ear line, so where my face meets my ears. And I was like, wait, it is real. So what is happening?
So Mask Me is real, and they did come up with a cutesy name, but we had a name for it in medicine before they came up with Mask Me. It's called Acne Mechanica. And that's because it's acne caused by that physical friction and rubbing. And so we saw it initially in athletes. So in football, you'll see it under the chin strap from athletes and that constant rubbing from the chin strap. So I'm sure all the athletes were like, ugh, we've heard of this already, because we see it a lot in athletes. And so it really is that friction causes that inflammation. And of course, that compounded with it rubbing dirt, oil, and debris into our pores is going to contribute to even worse acne. And so what it's all about, again, the thing that we forget is that it's caused by this friction. So it's about that friction is compromising our skin barrier and causing inflammation. So what we don't want to do is use really aggressive treatments. So kind of the rule of thumb for this is to make sure that we're using gentle soaps, gentle cleansers, hydrating and fortifying the skin barrier so it can withstand the mask. And then when we are using targeted treatments for our acne, using targeted treatments that have lower concentrations, so lower concentrations of salicylic acid, lower concentrations of benzoyl peroxide, lower concentrations of your retinoid, and then hydration, 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 because we're trying to build up our barrier against the mask, kind of like with babies and their diapers. You want to create barrier protection, right? So that's why you use things like the zinc oxide paste and our Vaseline or Aquaphor, because we don't want that friction and that moisture disrupting their skin. And it's a similar scenario underneath the mask.
So do you recommend like using Aquaphor in those vulnerable spots on your face?
So I do that. Sometimes you can. Usually a rich moisturizer is fine. But if you're someone who is maybe in healthcare or in whatever space you're working in addition to the mask, you're also getting that pressure, those aggressive pressure marks that you often get on the bridge of the nose, I would absolutely recommend it there. Because a part of it is that although it's not occlusive, it can occlude oil, dirt, and debris on your face, although itself isn't doing that, isn't clogging the pores. I mean, although it's not, it is occlusive, but although it does not clog the pores, because it's occlusive, it can encourage clogged pores. I usually don't tell people to slather it on all day long while they're going about their way and sweating and doing all the things that we do. But if there are particular areas that are a little bit sensitive, like the nose, or maybe that little ear strap where you're getting that rubbing, you can put it there for sure.
So then once you have the mask meme, because this one in particular, the one in the ears wasn't so bad, but the one in the crease of my nose was in such an obnoxious spot because it was impossible to squeeze. And I know we're not supposed to squeeze them, but I have to just be honest. I can't resist. It's like, you know, a moth to a light. So when I have a pimple, I squeeze it. And so it was impossible to squeeze because of the location. So what are we supposed to do once we have them?
So when you have them, you know, as a dermatologist, it is just sacrilegious for me to say, blasphemous for me to say you can pop them at home. Sorry. So I can't co-sign on that one. So when you have them, I want you to come into the office. You know, that's what we do. You can see us, even, you know, an esthetician can sometimes help to express them. So see a skincare expert that can help you get rid of them if you have them. In the office, I like to inject them because that goes away really quickly. And then you're virtually, most people don't get scars from that. Because not everyone has such expert execution as you to not get scars.
You're very diplomatic. I think it's just luck. You know, I got 99 problems, but that ain't one.
So usually we say, come on in, let us take care of it, inject it, or do spot treatments at home, like benzoyl peroxide or those sorts of things to encourage them to go away quicker.
So the at-home treatments, because, you know, some people just won't, I mean, some, you know, going to the doctor is a hassle or making an appointment and I love going to the dermatologist. It's my favorite. It's like my fun doctor's visit, but everybody doesn't feel that way. So if somebody wants to treat it at home, what are the home remedies you recommend?
So I recommend topical benzoyl peroxide to help to, you know, kill the bug that creates acne, also dry it out, bring it to the surface. Now, if you have one that's super, super, super at the surface, you know, super white, looking like it will burst on its own with gentle pressure, then you can release that one. I use the word release instead of pop because I don't want you popping anything. But if you have one that's about to burst on its own, you can release it very gently, you know, using sterile tools, but like a sterile needle, something like that. But otherwise, I'm a huge fan of spot treatment. So whether it is spot treating with salicylic acid, benzoyl peroxide, or, you know, I even love some of the stickers, the little like zit sticker and those sorts of stickers.
Do you find those work?
I like them for acne, for like when a really juicy cyst bursts, because they do come in that kind of like hydrocolloid kind of material that's kind of going to hydrate, and it's a little bit absorptive too. And it's good for wound healing. So I do like it for some of them. Is it magic? No, not magic. Not much is magic. It's all consistency. But I think in some cases it does work.
See, I had a theory that the only reason they work is because they keep your hands off the pimple and then it just heals itself. And then you haven't squeezed it and left yourself with a scar and a much bigger disaster. Because every time I've tried them, I haven't found they work at all. Is there, you know, you mentioned the specific kind of pimple that you think they work best for, but you used the technical word. So how can you identify the one that they're best for?
So a non-technical word, a really juicy pimple. So like the really juicy ones, you pop them and they keep creating like juice. So juicy pimples, good for juicy pimples, not going to work for blackheads. Not going to be super great for like those inflamed deep ones, but the super juicy ones, they tend to work a little bit better for those.
What do you call those ones that are like under the skin and they don't have a clear head and they just hurt?
Nodules.
I hate those. Oh, they're the worst. What causes
deep,
those?
Nodules. It depends on where the pore became clogged. So more superficial or a deeper clog on the pore causes it to fill deep. And then you get a deeper nodule.
Okay. I hate those. Sometimes they even look like bug bites. And I got one once on my forehead. It was like, looked like somebody had punched me. It's like a big knot on my head. Of course, it was the day before taping. I was like, this is perfect. Oh. Dr. Henry, thank you so much for helping us fight for our glow. Where can people find you on social media?
So you guys can find me at Dr. Michelle Henry on Instagram. And then my practice website is skinaestheticsurgery.com.
Looking for a product mentioned on the Trend Reporter? Check out our Amazon page to shop the show. Also, check out my Instagram and YouTube for more beauty and wellness coverage, including tutorials, fun photos, some reels, and much more. Links in the show notes. The Trend Reporter is a production of iHeartRadio. For more shows from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.